here's a story from The World.
People in northern Ethiopia's Tigray region have been enduring a military conflict for 4 months now. Tens of thousands have fled over the border to Sudan to escape the fighting. Communications in and out of Tigray had been cut off but are now starting to come back, and we're learning more about some of the reported atrocities there. At the same time, other parts of Ethiopia are also dealing with flare-ups of ethnic violence. Around the world, the Ethiopian diaspora has watched this conflict intensify and tried to make sense of their personal stories against the backdrop of this fight. That includes Mikli Tadero. She's an Ethiopian-American musician and culture activist and a friend of the show. We've featured her stories about the lives and work of immigrant musicians, part of her project called Movement. Mikli, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Marco.
So you came to the U.S. when you were about two. Music has been a culture connector and a touchstone for you. How has it also helped you understand the ethnic divides in Ethiopia?
Well, when I was growing up, my experience of Ethiopian culture was really filtered through the lives and memories and stories of my parents. But that's just two people, and we're talking about a country with over 100 million people. So in 2009, I founded a collective of Ethiopian diaspora artists called the Arba Munch Collective. And we would go to Ethiopia together to connect with culture makers there. We went to southern Ethiopia, to the city of Arba Munch, and we were immersed in a world of diversity that I had never known around Ethiopian culture before. The south of Ethiopia has over 56 ethnic tribes alone, and they all have their own music and dancing culture. And so on that trip, for example, we learned that the traditional food there, it's not injera and what, it's like a fermented root of the false banana tree, which is totally different than what I had experienced growing up. So on that trip in particular, just was a lens into what the real vast ethnic diversity of Ethiopia really is.
So that most recent trip to Ethiopia, the one we're about to hear from, that was before the fighting in Tigray broke out. Before we hear what you discovered this time back, I'd like to know how you've been absorbing and processing some of these horror stories coming out of Tigray, considering your focus is on the culture of your country.
Well, it's a time of heartbreak for many Ethiopians. It's a time of tragedy. You know, hearing these stories of suffering is just, it's just absolutely tragic. At the same time, you know, there are folks on the ground who are doing the work of building togetherness and unity. For me, what I'm really inspired by is the way musicians are doing this every single day. And it's hard work, and sometimes it's overwhelming work, and sometimes it all feels impossible. But it's a path forward that artists have. It's our way as artists. And so this was the story I wanted to tell.
Well, Mikli, thank you for setting things up. Let's hear what you found out when you were last in Ethiopia and some of the things you're hearing today.
This is a story torn in two. It's about a country on a precipice. My country, Ethiopia. I travel back there every year or two to perform or visit family, or at least I did before the pandemic. But my last trip in 2019 was a very different kind of experience because the country was smack in the middle of a historic, and for many, a joyous transition. In April of 2018, a new prime minister, a man by the name of Abiy Ahmed, came into power, and it was this watershed moment.
After 6 weeks of uncertainty, Dr. Abiy Ahmed was elected as the new head of the ruling.
You know, my family obsessively watches Ethiopian news on YouTube.
So, what do we know about him?
So, I knew that Prime Minister Abiy had all of these amazing reforms that were happening.
The judicial system, in the security system.
There was the peace with Eritrea.
In ending a long military standoff.
The fact that the prime minister named half of his cabinet as women.
Including in charge of the defense ministry.
That he lifted restrictions on the press. So this was a time not just of transition, but of transformation.
Reforms in Ethiopia.
But knowing all of that from social media and the news while far away in another country, it's very different from experiencing it on the ground in Ethiopia. So it's 2019, my last trip to Ethiopia. Me and my band have just arrived, totally jet-lagged in the capital, Addis Ababa. And that first night, we walked over to one of my cornerstone spots of Addis, which is Fendiga. It's part music venue, part bar, part cultural center, all vibe.
I am now the age of 43. I never felt like this.
This is Malaku Balai, a dancer, choreographer, and the owner of Fendiga.
This is the situation now, and I'm blessed in my life this time.
At this moment, it feels absolutely right, because what you've been...
This is my friend, Sammy Yerga, who's a celebrated Ethio jazz pianist.
What I've been trying to describe Ethiopia for the rest of the world is making sense now.
You have to understand that for Ethiopians like Malaku and Sammy, this country had been under some form of oppressive government their whole lives, really since the 1970s. And so when Abiy became prime minister in 2018 and began instituting reforms, it was like suddenly living in technicolor.
What was going on? So I'm so happy to be here.
Meheret Kabeda is a poet and an arts organizer.
The change, and so I can see some opening, some kind of light that I can enter into.
At that moment, 2 years ago, many folks in Ethiopia were walking around with a sense that history was being made. But even then, there was a kind of specter that haunted the hope. The path to peace and unity, it felt slim and steep. The risk of war, fragmentation, ethnic violence, they were palpable. And the person who voiced that potential most clearly was another friend of mine, a jazz musician named Jorka Musfin, who, like me, has found his voice by moving back and forth between countries.
So I've been a musician since I was 16. I started my professional career in the U.S.
Jorka left Ethiopia when he was 14. He spent 2 years in New Delhi, India. After that, he made his way to Greensboro, North Carolina, then Atlanta, New York City, and finally, at the age of 30, he returned home to Ethiopia.
And I've been back in Ethiopia for 12 years now.
Jorka moved back to Ethiopia because he wanted to contribute to the changes happening in the country, as well as the changes happening in Ethiopian jazz. These goals are really linked in his mind, so to understand how Jorka thinks about social change, it helps to understand how he thinks about music.
How would you describe Ethio jazz to someone who's never heard it before?
You know, I think it's like it has its ear on the American jazz, like it has heroes. But I think Ethio jazz was created outside that racist society. So it's very human and softer. Like the music that happened at the same time the U.S. had was like Black Power. It was resisting a lot of things. So it had to be strong, you know? But this one really doesn't have much to prove. And it's so nice. That itself is a lesson. Freedom is softer, you know? Like, true freedom is soft.
True freedom is soft. Just listen.
So what do you think the role of music is in this time? Participating in it, expressing?
I mean, it's just... It's when you're in music, you're always like dealing with Ethiopia, you know, first of all. So you have to learn. We learned every tribe's music, regardless of whether we're from that tribe or not, you know.
In Ethiopia, there are over 80 tribes and distinct languages with hundreds of dialects. At that moment, there was a lot of rising tension around tribal identity, even as Prime Minister Abiy was pushing for more unity.
So I think music can really speak to that unity and also like speak against whatever. There's always some thought that's trying to dominate and be like, okay, it's our turn, or the oppression was done on a tribal basis, so now the solution wants to appear tribal too. I don't know. Every day is a little tense because, you know, it could erupt into, like, you know, tribe against tribe kind of violence if, like, 3-4 wrong moves happen, you know? We're all praying.
That was 2 years ago in 2019. This past month, I talked to Jorga again, but there was a very different feeling in the air. Because in November 2020, Prime Minister Abiy, the same leader who brought so much optimism and reform to Ethiopia, ordered a military offensive against the Tigray regional government in the north of the country. This was after the Tigray regional government attacked an Ethiopian military base. But the roots of this conflict go back years, if not decades. Before Abiy came into office, the leaders of that same regional government had dominated Ethiopian politics for over 25 years, even though they represented a small ethnic minority. With Abiy, all that changed. And tensions between the central government and the Tigray government have been escalating ever since, especially this past year.
I think the first real shock was the political assassination of a singer. You know, we've never seen that. Like, musicians were never targeted.
The singer Haçalu Hundessa was from the Oromo tribe, the largest ethnic group in Ethiopia. And his murder sparked immediate outrage.
It's just the ethnic identity becomes stronger than the national one, you know?
Right.
And so, like, that's a strange thing, you know, like, suddenly, you know, an era you've been living in for a long time suddenly says you're a foreigner, you know, like, you don't belong here, kind of. Mm-hmm. That's what's been going on. Pretty much, I have a funny story, you know, every house had to, like, volunteer an adult male to go out and patrol the neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
So everybody came up with sticks, and the only strong thing I had was a mic stand, you know. So here I was, like, at midnight with a mic stand amongst people carrying knives and sticks, and so I represented my profession well.
You're a living metaphor in that moment.
Absolutely.
So I was wondering if you could walk us through, like, a typical day for you as an artist right now.
Okay, well, right now, most of my time is in the studio. And the project that we've been working on is called Music Awi. And it's kind of like a tiny desk concert concept.
This past fall, just as tensions between the Ethiopian government and the Tigray regional government were reaching a boiling point, Jorga was producing a whole series of these videos. There are over 20 of them in different styles and featuring artists from all over the country.
It was kind of therapeutic because there was so much tribal tensions, ethnic tensions. And here I was in the studio, like, booking one ethnic group after another, you know? The studio's on the 7th floor, and there's a balcony, like, right outside the studio. So while one group was being recorded, the others were dressing and rehearsing outside, you know? So you can hear music from Oromia, from Tigray, from Wolaita, Konta, Amharic, Gondar. So all this energy was just right outside on that balcony at the same day. You know, so we did videos and we tried to do a concert. So sometimes it feels good and sometimes it feels very like a drop in the bucket, like just maybe it's too late. You know, not too late, but like it takes time, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to know what your role is when there's that level of just uncertainty.
I'm focusing on the purity of music, you know, just on beauty and producing for like somebody who's like 5 years old now, who would be 15, 10 years from now, you know, like just keeping the future in mind.
Like sowing the seeds of unity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it's a prayer, you know, it's a deep prayer that hopefully like music would bypass the mind and talk directly to the heart, you know, like catching it while we can, you know, while it's still available, you know, while people still feel like singing.
Or in Jorka's case, playing. The conflict in Tigray broke out on November 4th, 2020, immediately after Election Day in the United States. That week in San Francisco, I was glued to the television, anxiously watching, waiting, as we inched closer and closer to the moment when we would know the name of our next president. And all the while, my heart was breaking, watching Ethiopia slip into war. Because with war, we know that people who had nothing to do with the conflict will suffer. Innocence is no shield. Calls for unity can feel impossible when history has not been reconciled. But the cost of not looking each other in the eye, it also feels too heavy to bear. How do we move through this? Like Jorga, I often find it easier to face these impossible questions as an artist, with music rather than with words. We use music to talk about the things that are hard to talk about. And there are millions of artists around the world doing just that. I try to focus on them, helping us imagine new futures, talking directly to our hearts, even as they continue to break.
That's Ethiopian-American singer Mikleet Hadero, part of our ongoing series about the lives and work of immigrant musicians called Movement. It's produced by Ian Koss and Mikleet, edited by Julie Kane. To learn more about Movement, just go to theworld.org. We'll be right back. You're listening to The World.
From PRX.